Let us read then from Nehemiah chapter 3 from verse 1. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him the men of Jericho built, and next to them Zachor the son of Imri built. The sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them Meremoth the son of Uriah, son of Hazok, Hakoz repaired. And next to them Meshullam, the son of Bechariah, son of Meshabel, repaired. Next to them, Zadok the priest, Zadok the son of Banna, repaired. And next to them, the Tekorites repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. Joada, the son of Pasah, the Meshullam, and Meshullam, the son of Besadiah, repaired the gate of Hassanah. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. Next to them repaired Melatiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Meronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the prince beyond the river. Next to them Uzel the son of Haraniah, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jediah the son of Haramath repaired opposite his house. And next to him, Hatush the son of Hashabaniah repaired. Jalkajah the son of Hiram and Hasheb the son of Pahath-Moab repaired. Another section and the Tower of Ovens. Next to him, Shalem the son of Heloesh, the ruler of half the districts of Jerusalem, repaired. He and his daughters. Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They built it and set its doors, its bolts and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Melchiah the son of Rechab, the ruler of the district of Beth-Hekarim, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it, set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And Shalem the son of Kohazah, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He rebuilt it and covered it and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And he built the wall of the pool of Shelah of the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah the son of Hasbuk, the ruler of half the district of Bezer, repaired to the point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool, and as far as the house of the mighty men. After him, the Levites repaired, Rehum the son of Bani, and next to him, Hashbaiah, the ruler of half the district of Kelah, repaired for his district. After him, their brothers repaired, Bavai, the son of Henadad, the ruler of half the district of Kelah. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section opposite the ascent to the armory at the buttress. Next to him, Barak, the son of Zabai, repaired another section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him, the priests, The men of the surrounding area repaired. After them, Benjamin and Hasab repaired opposite their house. After them, Hazariah the son of Messiah, son of Hananiah, repaired beside his own house. After him, Benui the son of Henadad repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress and to the corner. Pela the son of Uzziah repaired opposite the buttress and the tower projecting from the upper house of the king to the court of the guard. After him, Pedaiah the son of Pahosh and the temple servants living on Ophel repaired to the point opposite the water gate on the east and the projecting tower. After him, the Tekoites repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priests repaired, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, the house of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zaleph, repaired another section. After him, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, repaired opposite his chamber. After him, Melchiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants opposite the muster gate and to the upper chamber of the corner. And between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. We now turn to the New Testament. We turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're reading the verses 25 through 34. And this section of God's word is entitled, Do Not Be Anxious. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far, this reading of God's holy word.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then also, Nehemiah 2 verse 18, so that we can follow the trend of last week, 2 verse 18b. Let me read the whole verse 18. And I told him of the hand of my God that it had been upon me for good, and also of the words that a king has spoken to me. They said, Let us rise up and build. Those are the people when Nehemiah told them. Then also, 20. Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right to claim in Jerusalem. And then 3 verse 5. Next to him, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. A special emphasis on these words, to serve their Lord. Topic this morning, building requires working together, trust and willingness in the Lord. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, someone wrote that it does not make sense to attend church anymore. Why attend church? Increasingly, I'm convinced there's no point in merely attending. You drive all the way to connect with three or four songs, hear a message, and then head home. All of that could almost be done by yourself in a much more convenient way. And we see this everywhere in the world. Some people have stopped attending church services. The COVID-19 pandemic and online church, it became clear that there are so many options available of such great preachers that I can listen in the comfort of my home with a cuppa. I don't even have to dress. I don't have to worry about contracting COVID or any diseases. Why bother? Beloved, there's a great danger when we are thinking like that. You don't attend church. You are church. We are not consumers, but servants of the Lord to glorify His name, to worship Him, to obey His commandments, in this instance, the fourth commandment. We also promise with our, profession of faith to do all we can with the help of the Holy Spirit to strengthen our love and commitment to Christ by sharing faithfully in the life of the church and its grace. We're here to serve. We're here to worship, to glorify God, not only as consumers. And that's a mindset that needs to change. I've heard it so many times as well, there's nothing for me in the service. We're here to serve, brothers and sisters. This is the central idea of Nehemiah 3. Nehemiah is not an easy chapter to read. Sometimes we skip over this. I will pray especially for the reader of Nehemiah 7. That will be really tough. There's a long list, but Frank did so well this morning. Remember that every chapter is in the Bible for a reason. And that this book is not primarily about restoring the walls themselves. It's about the Jewish nation rediscovering their identity as people called by God to delight in revering His name, recovering and rediscovering their purpose to display the glory of God to the nations. God had chosen Jerusalem as the place for His name to be honored. And rather to bring glory than to bring glory to God's name, the walls that were down after exile were only brought shame to the Lord's name. This has all meaning for believers in Christ as well. Our identity as believers is in Jesus Christ. We are holy. And this is also the relevance of the walls, that we are a holy community, apart and outside from this world. And our distinctiveness is in Christ. Our identity is not in ourselves, but in Christ. That's why we are called Christians. We are holy because we are born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God, and that's the words of Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8. And the question, how do we respond if we are called as God's people to be holy, to build those walls? Also to remain and maintain our distinctiveness in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. Nehemiah 2, we have heard in last week's sermon that Nehemiah approached the Persian king to ask if he could rebuild the walls. Nehemiah was only a cupbearer, lowly cupbearer. The Jews were the most hated nation on earth. Destroyed, hated by the Persians. But because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, gave them the king's letters. The king also sent army officers and cavalry with me. And so Nehemiah went to the people of Judah, informed them about the royal authority to rebuild the walls to be no longer in disgrace. God's glory must be restored. They are a holy nation, a holy priesthood. God's glory should be proclaimed. And they told him, and Nehemiah told him about the gracious hand of God on him, and what the king said to them. And when the people of Israel heard that, they said, let's start the rebuilding. And so they began the good work. That's the glory that we read about Nehemiah 3. People that are working. And the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, recorded their names. They could build because the Lord's hand was upon them and they had the blessing of the Lord. Nehemiah was confident that God would answer his prayers and that the king was only an instrument in the Lord's hand. And the king granted his request because the good hand of God was upon Nehemiah, as we read in Nehemiah 2 verse 8. Then I want to focus on this point, that building requires work and trust in the Lord. Building requires work and trust in the Lord. So the people immediately start with the building. God gave them strength. God gave them faith. God gave them willingness. There were no objections, but only willingness from the people. No complaints, sometimes as we do. I'm too old. I can't speak like a Moses. I'm too young, like a Isaiah. Or there's not enough material to begin. No, the people trusted in the Lord that his excellent hand was upon them, and they believed in their calling as his people. And each had their own role, their own responsibility, and shoulder to shoulder, people worked. That's also always the nicest to work with a working bee. That's where you learn to know people, what they can do. Next to each other as a unity. And it reads as a refrain in the passages how the people work next to one another. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests. They built a sheep gate. They consecrated it, set it doors, its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of Ananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to him, Zachur, the son of Imri, built. And so it continues the whole chapter. People holy because of the Lord's word, consecrated in his glory. And everyone's service was required. The entire community worked. Everyone delivered their contribution. And the immensity of the task, remember, these were poor people just returning from exile. The cost involved were not even factors. The Lord would provide. And his good hand was upon them. And everyone felt the importance of the task. It's about God's glory. His holy name should be honored. And everyone had a common goal. Everyone was building next to his or her home, where the deterioration was the largest, but also where the wall of people needed to be guarded against the enemies of the Lord and his people. And more important, the people realize who God is. That God's power is the greatest when we are at our weakest. Sometimes when the walls are down. When all these things are happening in the world, when we have viruses, when we are sick, we are just a small congregation. But we should also hold on to our first love, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are struck down in adversity and in our knees constantly seeking God, then we are also strong because of the Lord. And what we need the most in our weakness is God's sufficient grace, not more strength and not a dramatic deliverance. The world like the show of strength. Even politicians like we have it all together. Bigger is better. More will make you happy. That's the lie of the world. But it took only one pandemic to show how vulnerable even the wealthiest countries are. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Why is this? So it focuses on Christ, His glory, and what God in His grace has done in Jesus, that Jesus delivered me from death and eternal hell. And if God's grace alone is sufficient to sustain me, I can't take credit for supporting myself. And so couldn't Israel. They were relying on the Lord. The people of Judah realized this truth, that it takes a community to build the wall of Jerusalem. A lot of people have to buy in. Each person has to do their part with zeal. And so Nehemiah, Frey showed the people come together in tangible, in practical ways to rebuild the wall. And in doing so, display the glory of God whose gracious hand was upon them. From the sheep gate, all parts of the wall were connected one by one. All ages, occupations, men, women, and even girls were helping. We read in verse 12, next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired he and his daughters. That's grace. Rich, poor, ruler, laborer, from far and near, men and women, priests, even Nehemiah himself helped. This shows what a church community can do when inspired and working together. And God's glory is seen when all kinds of people work together in unity and love. God used through His Spirit the gifts of all the people to work as one. God's work. They worked side by side, were encouraged by each other's actions. And it gave them fire and zeal. God's glory and His people's holiness must be proclaimed. And God's work was to the benefit of them all. This is the meaning of church and a church community. And so this long list of names unfolded in this chapter to a unity. The city whose walls were down rose again into a fortress, a stronghold of God. And Jerusalem was once the center of God's service, but was ruined through war and the people's stubbornness and went into exile. It rise again. Here we see how the city of Jerusalem became the city of God again. That the Lord Himself was there. In Jerusalem, God's holiness was emphasized again. And Jerusalem was again the light of God's faithfulness to His people, to all nations, and to all the scoffers of His people. Brings us to the second point. Building requires willingness. There were about 40 groups working together. And in this beautiful cooperation, unfortunately, there was a small group within a group who didn't want to cooperate. And their names were also noted. Verse 5, next to him, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve. This is so sad. The list of all the people that work together, this contradictory verse is the one that stands out almost. And so the Holy Spirit reveals to us that despite God's good hand upon His people, His unspeakable blessings, there were still people who did not want to build. Why were they not willing? How can it be possible? In these specific circumstances, they were nobles. They regarded themselves better than ordinary people. We also need to ask ourselves this question, especially about our involvement. Also, where we prepare for the Lord's Supper next week and examine our hearts. Can we leave the work just for a few? Are we not all called to build? And so the Holy Spirit commands us, instructs us through God's word to work as a unity, that everyone's contribution is needed, that it's to God's glory. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 20 to 26, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's a church community. But it also means that we need everyone to help build God's church building. The daily functioning of God's church, and that God so willed it. And as one, we should also build the kingdom of God and God's church. That's the earthly manifestation of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10, Apostle Paul said, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. This is exactly what happens in churches. With this building of this congregation in Blaxland started many years ago. 41. And we were blessed in sometimes difficult circumstances. We were vacant for a few years. But the Lord provided. The Lord is always faithful. The Lord is always faithful to his people. His good hand is upon his congregation. Some have left and for greener pastures. Some have stayed. Some are still building. Still serving. Although they are becoming weary and older. And the younger ones should build as well. Shoulder to shoulder to the older ones. Doesn't mean if you retire you should stop building. We are still building amid a pandemic. And we can be firm because we are building on the building and the foundation of Jesus that many started decades ago. That's the Lord's grace, that we are in his service, building on the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus innocently died for our sins. That this is the Lord's church. It started with him, with his Holy Spirit. This is what we are doing here. We serve the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation on which we can build in confidence, and we can know our labor is not in vain. And so the Lord requires willingness to build his congregation in a hostile world, and the walls are down again. We are called to rebuild the walls in Australia that is broken down by a secular community, society, that was seeking their own glory rather than the Lord's. And so we are called to provide hope to the hopeless, call people to repentance and faith. Tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to be a light in this community. We're called to be holy, to be faithful to his word, to serve the Lord as he wants according to his word. This is your calling, brothers and sisters, this year, 2022, to be the Lord's people. Expect everything from him. Because he gave us everything, his son Jesus Christ. And we are called to build prayerfully, to be faithful, to seek his blessing in our building of God's church, to pray also. That's my prayer for, and our congregation's prayer for the approval of our plans and the physical development of our church building as well. The reason this will be to his glory and faith for a generation still to come. That's hope and faith. Also in this, we trust him. And we are called to trust him, to be faithful and willing and bring it to the Lord in prayer who can change all circumstances, even people's hearts, even kings like Nehemiah to even local councils. And it should be our attitude to the Lord's glory. Therefore, we need to look wider and deeper as our own circumstances, our own generation. Look from God's view that see our whole existence, the existence of the church as well. Also, the day the church was born, the day we were born, also the day we will pass. And then we shall see and we will see that the Lord provided every day in our needs, that the Lord was there. And so Jesus told us the same. Seek God's kingdom first in the assurance that he will provide. This was Jesus' instruction in the second passage in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. And we also know, like the people in Nehemiah, that some people only care for their daily needs. They live for the day. They do not seek the Lord or his kingdom. But the heart of Jesus' teaching was about the kingdom of our God. And Jesus told us to seek God's kingdom, to build his church. And that this is the essence to address anxiety, the fear of tomorrow, and shortcomings. Be busy. Build and the Lord will add to you. Do not be anxious. What should we do? Seek his kingdom. Believe. Believe that Jesus was crucified for our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus ascended into heaven. Believe that Jesus is the rock that we are building as his church, that the Lord will continue the work. And if you believe in him, you have a future, you have a tomorrow, you have eternity, you don't have to be anxious. The Lord is providing. Each day will be meaningful. There's a task to accomplish to seek his kingdom. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and this is our purpose. And nothing is more important than to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And our view is eternal. This means that we will live in all eternity because God's kingdom is eternal and nothing can separate you from the Lord. We are called to build. And so Jesus said, the kingdom of God is a priority. Even more important is our daily existence, our worries, our fears, our anxieties. And it turns our whole view around where we are the center and consumers on the head. You're not here to be served. You are called to serve. And it's not my work, my family, and then God's kingdom. No, radical and clear, Jesus said, God first, start with God's kingdom first. This is how your week should begin, with attending the worship service, how every day should start in worship to the living God. And the Lord will add to you. And so the kingdom of God is God's rule in your life. It's about the Lord who is in control. It's about the daily quest to rely upon God's holy will in everyday life. And it comes with a promise that should constantly refrain in my heart and mind when I struggle with anxiety and fear about tomorrow. That we are under the Lord's good hand. The Lord will provide. Provided his son. He will provide. He will provide in your circumstances, my circumstances, the church's circumstances. He provided his son to die for my sins when there was no one else, no one who could bear my sin on the cross. And he established God's kingdom here on earth, God's church, so that I don't have to fear and be anxious about tomorrow. but can focus on our task to be His church. This is what you are supposed to do. Nehemiah and the people were called to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and they did that, those mighty walls, in 52 days. Because Nehemiah did the following. He knew what needed to be done. He saw the need. The wall had to be rebuilt. He saw the urgency of the work. And it has to be done now. And he prayed for 4 months. And he sought the king's permission. He presented a plan to the people. Sought the cooperation of everyone. And they worked together. And despite all their shortcomings as a broken nation, they were under the good hand of the Lord. We also know that a day will come when every day's work will be tested. Our grateful obedience to God, our building in the kingdom on earth, His church. I will preach about it this evening a bit more. Our name's in the book of life. Revelation 13, and you are so invited to come. If you want to know about the end times, the beast out of the sea, you are called to come. Then the fire of judgment will show the works that will stand and what is temporary, which is noble, precious, worthless. If your name is in the book of life. And for those who are grateful, now Lord Jesus Christ, those who are faithful, the Lord will say in Matthew 25, verse 23, His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master." And I want to conclude this sermon with the words of Psalm 90, verse 16 and 17. "Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's a prayer. Our work in Blacksmith, our work in the kingdom. And let us build God's church, seek His kingdom every day. Don't fear about tomorrow. Do not be anxious. We are just a small congregation, but we are under the good hand of the Lord. The Lord can change everything. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the faith the people showed. Oh, the walls were rebuilt. Now the people worked together. All those people that were mentioned through Your grace as examples. But above all, we rejoice in the greatest example of all, our Lord Jesus Christ gave His life. That we don't have to fear tomorrow, that we don't have to be anxious about the future, that we can look and see how You provide it, how You take care of nature, and also take care of us. That we can seek Your kingdom, build Your church, so that the gospel can be proclaimed, so that the walls can be rebuilt and we can live holy as Your people. We know there are so many influences, Lord. We will learn about them in the coming weeks in Your words to Nehemiah. But we can also be assured we are safe and protected. Our names are written in the book of life. No one can wipe it out. Father, we pray for Your church. We pray that this year will be seen as an opportunity to build, and that You called us to build, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our age, regardless of who we are, You've called Your people out of grace alone. In Jesus' name.